All right, this morning, the book of Galatians, chapter 5, verses 13 through 18. Last week, we looked at warring, or the war with our flesh. This week, we want to look at walk in the Spirit. Galatians, chapter 5, verses 13 through 18. If you're able, please stand for the reading of God's Word, if you're able. Galatians 5:13. The Bible says, "For, brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. But if ye bite and devour one another, take heed that ye be not consumed one of another. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. But if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law." You may be seated. Thank you. May the Lord bless the reading and the receiving of His Word. Last week we were here and we looked at verse 13. We looked again at the war with our flesh. And we ended up asking ourselves a few questions. Where do we compromise the Word of God? What do we tolerate? And what governs us? Our flesh always wants us to compromise with and to tolerate sin. That's how our flesh is. Our flesh is not redeemed. Flesh and blood cannot be redeemed. Amen. This body will not be in heaven. The Bible says that we would be given a new body. Prepared for us, not made with hands, but made by God, given to us. And how wonderful is that? I'm not sure about y'all, but I don't want this body in heaven. This body is racked with pain. This body is racked, is riddled with sinfulness. The members of our body, the parts of our body, listen, even our organs in our body, there are certain sins that we love. It's proven that people who have transplants of human parts, that someone who never loved football before gets a heart transplant, all of a sudden they have a desire to watch football, going to find out the person that the heart came from was a big football fan. And things such as that. Amazing, isn't it? And that goes to show us that there are sinful inclinations in our whole body. That's why this is a warfare until the day we die. To fight against this sinful body. You know, this body desires things even though it knows those things will harm us. How many of y'all, and I'm not trying to pick on nobody, but how many of y'all are addicted to nicotine? I'm thankful that the Lord delivered me from that a long time ago. But it's my understanding that nicotine is one of the hardest habits to break. How many of y'all ever tried quitting nicotine? How do those around you feel about that? You would become very, what, irritable? Angry? Why? Because your body wants that nicotine, even though it's killing you. All right, let's go to another section. How many of y'all like sugar? Just so no one thinks I'm picking on people who are addicted to nicotine. Sugar is known as the legal white drug. And that's basically what it is. It's a drug. So I'm not addicted to sugar. Okay, go 3 days without it and let me know how your body's doing. See, sugar's killing our bodies. Have you ever looked at pictures from people back in the 70s? I'm just going to be rude, but how many fat people did you see in those pictures? Take a picture today, what do you see? The beach. Go to the beach. I like going to the beach in November. You know why? Because everybody's got clothes on. But the point I'm making, sugar is killing our bodies, but we like it, don't we? How many of y'all can just lick your finger and stick it into the sugar bowl if no one's watching and eat on that? Jack says he doesn't do that anymore. I don't believe him. I read your lips, Jack. The point I'm making is that, listen, our flesh is against us, and often we don't even realize it. Our flesh wants to be pleased. Our flesh wants to be number one in our lives. And yet, those of us who are saved, we want Jesus Christ to be number one. And we want to please Him. So there's a constant warfare that's going on in our lives. Our flesh loves it when we are governed by our emotions and our feelings instead of the truth of the Scripture. See, the truth of the Scriptures brings stability in our lives. And that is in direct contrast with emotions and feelings, which bring constant disruption and chaos in our lives. An unstable person is one who is governed by those things around him. Whether it's political or anything else going on, amen? All of us are guilty of this some of the time. But a Christian should not live like this all the time. We are people who have feelings, right? We are emotional. We're not to be stoic. That's not where we're supposed to be. But our feelings and our emotions are to be governed by the Scriptures. If not, they will get out of hand. And they will get us into trouble. We'll do things and we'll say things that we regret. The false teachers had infiltrated the churches at Galatia. They were influencing the Galatians to be selfish in a sense of saying, obey the law, follow the law, don't look to Jesus Christ. Listen, when you start trying to save yourself, you become very selfish. Do you know one of the best ways to save someone who's drowning without you being drowned yourself? To let them go under. That's hard to do, isn't it? What happens if you try to save someone who's drowning? In the process, they drown you because they're panicking. Their flesh is saying, I don't want to die. I want to save myself. And they drown you. That's how our flesh is. It is wicked. It wants to be on top. It wants to be number one. It is very selfish. Well, these teachers were teaching the Galatians to trust their flesh, living a life that is satisfying to their self. So they begin to view others as a way to please themselves. How can this person benefit me? How can my job benefit me? How can I benefit from this situation? Our emphasis is on pleasing self instead of how can I glorify my Lord and Savior. The false teachers of our day proclaim a message that teaches the people to look to themselves. You've heard it, haven't you? Trust yourselves. Look to yourself. Look to the good that's in you. When the Bible says there is none good, no, not one. Trust themselves. All that you do, you can do to please yourself. Make yourself happy. What's the world say? You need to be happy. The world says God wants you happy all the time. And I want to say scripture and verse. Or say chapter and verse. Sorry. Scripture. The Bible describes this as a fulfilling the lust of your flesh and that this is sinful. I do want to clarify, this does not mean, the Bible does not tell us that we should be hurting ourselves all the time. We are not in asceticism where, like the monks I mentioned last week, we're not going around with glass in our underwear. We laugh, but that's what they would do, because they want to hurt their flesh. The Bible doesn't teach that either. We should never go from one extreme to the other. As I mentioned last week, we should be biblical, stable, following Jesus Christ. Look at verses 14 and 15. Last week we did verse 13. Let's look at verse 14. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. But if you bite and devour one another, take heed that you be not consumed one of another. One of the evidences of knowing if you are truly saved or not is that you will love others, especially the brethren. 1 John 3:14 says, we know we have passed from death unto life. Why? Because we love the brethren. Love is not a feeling. Y'all okay with that? Love is an action. Love is a verb. It's an action word. I know we, because of Hollywood, because of romance novels, people want to be swept off their feet and they think that is love. That's not love, that's fake. Again, this does not mean that we don't have feelings or emotions, but the fact is that love is an action, not just some feeling. So, if we are loving others, what are we doing for them? We're serving others. We're meeting their needs. We're looking to others. How can I be a blessing to them? How can I help that person or these group of people? When we love others, we're not looking to self. We're looking to help others. This means that we will be putting the needs of others before our own. This is the example that Christ gave us. Let's go to the book of Philippians, chapter 2. In Galatians, it's just a few books over. Philippians, chapter 2. We'll start in verse 1. Philippians 2:1. If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy. Notice this, that ye be what? Like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. That's in the present tense, which means continuously and repeatedly. You look to others as better than yourself. You want to help others. Verse 4, look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. I want to clarify, this does not mean that you neglect yourself, okay? I know, again, there are extremes you can go to. This means that you look to help others. You look to the needs of others. It says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Now, what did Christ do? Look at verse 6. Who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Did Christ do that for his benefit? He done that out of obedience and love for the Father and for the benefit of all whom the Father had given him to save. Amen. Let me ask you this. Did we, when Christ saves us, do we make Christ better in any way? Do we increase Christ, who he is? No. Not at all. You cannot increase Christ. He is perfect. He is holy. He is wonderful. We could go on, can't we, about who Christ is. But how much did he help us? How much did he meet our needs? And not meeting our needs to say, okay, now you owe me. Can we ever repay Christ for what He's done for us? That's not possible. But what we can do is live the rest of our lives loving Him and loving others. Serving Him and serving others. Let me say this again. It's not natural for you and I to want to serve others. We want to be served. We want to say, treat me like a king or a queen. We want to look down on people and say, I'm higher than you. Y'all know those saying, get off your high horse, get down here where we can talk. If we aren't serving each other, then the Bible says that we will bite and devour each other. Let's go back to the book of Galatians chapter 5. If we're not trying to serve each other, then we find ourselves being in competition with each other, which is not healthy for a church, because then we are divided. A house divided against itself cannot stand. Verse 15 says, but if ye bite and devour one another, take heed that ye be not consumed one of another. This is not literally, this is figuratively, to bite and devour. But it is to be ripped apart and swallowed like an alligator eating its prey. I'm sure we've all seen those videos. The death roll of the alligator or the crocodile. And how it rips the flesh apart and then gulps it down. That's what this is talking about. This is a vicious act. So we are given a warning here to take heed that we are not consumed one of another. This simply means watch out that we do not destroy each other. How do we do that? With the tongue. It's mainly accomplished with the tongue. You know, words do hurt. Have you the old saying, sticks and stones may break my bones, but the words you say will never do what? That's a lie, isn't it? That's a lie. Remember that from the abundance of the heart, what's the mouth do? It speaks. So, in saying that, what we say is evidence against us or for us that proves we are either walking in the Spirit or walking in the flesh. Turn to the book of Titus, chapter 2. Chapter 2, verse 11. Titus 2:11 says, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust. Y'all see that? And we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. In order to do this, we must deny ungodliness and worldly lust. Look at verse 13. Looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearance of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for us, He might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto Himself a peculiar people zealous of good works. These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee. Verse 1, chapter 3. Put them in mind to be subject to principalities and powers, to obey magistrates, to be ready to every good work, to speak evil of no man, to be no brawlers, but gentle, suing all meekness unto all men. That's hard, isn't it? Because our flesh wants to get even, doesn't it? Our flesh says, nah. Mm-mm. No way, buddy. I'll take care of you. Wait till the light turns red. I'll get you. Before church, I told some of you of a story of a young man who someone had cut him off, so he got out and chewed that guy out, and the guy never said a word. They got to where they were going, got parked, and that other guy walked over there to him, never said a word, beat him to the ground, and left, and never said a word. What happened? Well, the guy got cut off, so he got full of what, his feelings? His feelings got hurt. How's that? You ever think about that? When you throw a temper tantrum, do you know what you're acting like? A little five-year-old. And he's their rear end tore up. Someone cut him off. He threw a temper tantrum. Went out there. Felt all big. I know this guy very well. Felt all big and bad. Said what he had to say. Like, yeah, I told him. But then the other guy showed him. Hopefully a lesson learned there. Was the other guy right? No, he wasn't right either. Obviously, neither one of them are Christians. But that's what happens when you let your feelings and your emotions get the best of you. Look what it says in verse 3. For we ourselves also were sometimes what? Foolish. Can any of us say that's never happened? Or are we going to do something like that? No. We're all what? Guilty? Disobedient, deceived, serving diverse or many different kinds of lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful, and hating one another. But after that, the kindness and love of God, our Savior toward man, appeared. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewed of the Holy Ghost, which He shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that being justified by His grace we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. This is a faithful saying. And these things I will, that thou affirm constantly, that they which have believed in God might be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable unto men. But notice what is not profitable. But avoid foolish questions and genealogies and contentions and strivings about the law, for they are what? Unprofitable and vain. There's nobody any good whatsoever. Listen, folks, it is hard for you and I living for Jesus Christ, robed in this sinful flesh. This is why we are so dependent upon the Lord to live for the Lord. We can all say amen, can't we? I know these are hard messages in a sense. That's where we're at right now in the book of Galatians, but they are very helpful to us in our Christian walk. Yes, on one hand, they are tearing us down, just like someone who comes in and takes over a program of athletics. They come in and they break the team down. And then what do? They build them back up. And when they're built back up, that team comes back out stronger and better than they were when they started. Same thing here. The Word of God, in a sense, is breaking us down. We have layers upon layers upon layers of pride wrapped around us. All of us do. And God, the Bible says that God resisteth the proud. That word resisteth there means He's at war with the proud in the book of 2 Peter. So it must be peeled off of us and peeled off of us. In a sense, that's a painful process. But oh, it is beneficial for you and I to live the Christian life. Have y'all ever been humbled? Better believe it. All of us have, should be. And do we need to be humble? I pray all the time, Lord, please let me be humble because I don't want to be humbled. I don't like those consequences. But still in all, there's times I must be humbled. How many churches have been torn apart and devoured by unspiritual people? Is it that bad? I've seen churches that were so bad as a younger man. I was not involved in these things. I just want to clarify that. But I saw what was going on. This person or this group of people did not get their way, and they got mad. It's usually over stupid stuff. It could be the color of the carpet. It could be the lighting. It could be the certain kind of piano or pulpit or sound system or what color rocks to go in the parking lot. But someone says, that's not what I wanted. And then here goes the phone ministry and the social media ministry and the gossiping, and they are biting and devouring one another. They are consuming each other. I thought about this. It's so bad that that person could be on a ship that is sinking. And everyone knows where the hole of the ship is. And they have the peace to fill that hole. But since that person can't be the one filling the hole to stop the ship from sinking, he won't let nobody else do it either, so the whole ship goes down. That's what that is. That's pride. Do you know what destroys most marriages? Pride. We got a pride problem, folks. Whether we want to admit it or not, we do. Some people would rather see the church house doors close than to not get their way. These people are walking to please their flesh. And this leaves room to question if they are truly saved or not. Why? Because they're acting just like the world. What kind of world do we live in? This is a dog what? Eating dog world. A consuming of one another. Brethren, that ought not be in the church. That ought not be in our lives when we're outside these walls. Whether we are in traffic, whether we're at the ball fields, the gas station, the restaurant, in the confines of our own home, we should be serving one another and living in such a way that we glorify our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We're not done yet. Let's look in verse 16 in Galatians 5. And I do want to add this, our Lord and Savior has given us all that we need to live godly in Christ Jesus. First of all, He's given us the Holy Spirit, who indwells every believer, who empowers us to live for Christ. He also gives us understanding of the Scriptures, so that we know how to live for Christ. Look in verse 16, this I say then, walk in the Spirit. This is simple, isn't it? And you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Oh, that's easily done. There it is, right there. On one hand, it's simple. But you know the old saying, it's easier said than done. I've heard of one preacher going to a deacon's meeting one time, bringing a baseball bat. Wasn't very humble, was it? He cleaned house. Amen. But it wasn't very humble. Walk in this verse is a present imperative. It means that to start doing what you have not been doing. And then continue doing that. You've not been walking in the Spirit. It's obvious by your actions. It's obvious by your words, what you're doing. So start walking in the Spirit and keep walking in the Spirit. Spirit in this verse means the Holy Spirit. Why? He is, listen, the source of support, comfort, Christian joy, and triumph. It is He. The Bible says in the book of Ephesians chapter 5, excuse me, that we are to be filled, that means to be controlled by the Spirit. Listen, we don't get more of the Holy Spirit or less of the Holy Spirit. We get the Holy Spirit when the Lord saves us, not more or less, okay? The word filled there is a misleading term. If you look it up, it's not talking about being filled up like a glass, but having more control. Being controlled by the Holy Spirit. Ephesians 5:15 says, "See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is." How do we do that? By the Scriptures. "And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks," how often? "Always for all things unto God and the Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ." To give thanks to God in all things, that's hard. Sometimes it's easy. "Oh Lord, thank you. I caught the green light. Lord, thank you. This is so good." And then something bad happens. We have a hard time praying, much less saying, "Lord, what? Thank you." When we are filled or controlled by the Spirit, when we are walking in the Spirit, we will find ourselves speaking to ourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in our hearts to the Lord. We'll find ourselves walking around praising the Lord, driving praising the Lord. When we're at work or anywhere else, what are we doing? We are praising the Lord. Is He not worthy of our praise? Remember, he who loveth much is he who has what? Been forgiven much. So we keep those things on our minds. "Lord, thank you for saving a wretch like me." And we praise Him, and we praise Him, and we praise Him. The Holy Spirit has empowered us to live in obedience to the Scriptures. We live looking and longing for the return of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And this is another reason that we grow in the knowledge of the Scriptures. We learn how God would have us live while we're waiting for Him on this earth. We learn how He has given us the power and the ability to live for Him through the Holy Spirit. And if we obey, listen, the results are wonderful and God glorified. From a human standpoint, that means that we lay down at night without regret, without embarrassment, and with thoughts and desires that glorify the Lord. How many of y'all ever lay down at night and just going back over the day and say, "Oh, I can't believe I said that"? "I can't believe I reacted that way." Versus, "Lord, thank you for allowing me to say what I said in a very loving way that glorifies you." Be able to respond today in such a way that glorifies you and doesn't magnify my flesh. What a difference that is. What a joy it is to obey the Scriptures from the heart. To go to bed joyous and to wake up joyous because we're walking in the Spirit. We wake up saying, "Lord, thank you. Good morning, Jesus." And some people are saying, "Good morning, Jesus. It's morning." Or, "Good Jesus, it's morning already." We wake up joyous. We live joyous because we're walking in the Spirit. I have no doubt that we can testify how great these times are, right? But also I have no doubt that we can testify that we're not always walking in the Spirit. Listen, that's the bottom line there. We're told to walk in the Spirit, not to fulfill the lust of the flesh. We're told this because we have a tendency to fulfill the lust of the flesh. We want to walk in the Spirit, don't we? So Paul said in Romans 7, "Man, I want to, but I find that there's another law inside my members warring against me." What is it? It's his flesh. Paul is saying step for step that he took in Romans chapter 7, sin was right there with him. Pride, the desires of the flesh were right there with him. But also was his Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and the person and the power of the Holy Spirit. Simply put, when we are walking in the Spirit, we will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. So we have to ask ourselves, how often are we not walking in the Spirit? Fulfill in this verse means to accomplish, fulfill, execute fully a rule or a law. Lust in this verse means carnal desires, appetites. And flesh in this verse implies sinfulness, proneness to sin, the carnal nature, the seat of carnal appetites and desires, sinful passions and affections, whether physical or moral. This is opposed to the Holy Spirit and His influences. Look again at verse 17 of Galatians 5. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. Notice this. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. So here's some questions I asked myself in studying this. How long are they contrary the one to the other? The whole time we're alive. Okay? I asked myself this question. Will there ever be a truce? No. Will there ever be a ceasefire? No. Will one ever compromise to the other? No. The Holy Spirit will never give in to the flesh. The Holy Spirit will never say, let's come together at this summit meeting and let's talk about these things. No, the Holy Spirit says, no, it's holiness. I will not accompany sin. I will not embrace those things that are sinful. He cannot. That's what the Bible says here, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 and 17, the Bible tells us to love not the things that are of the world. Steve Lawson preached a message, and the title was, A Love That God Hates. What kind of love is that? That's when we love the things of the world. Now, that's not our lifestyle. If that is your lifestyle, then you need to check out and make sure you're even saved. But for the Christian, that's not our lifestyle, but it's a struggle we have. It's a constant battle. And I think it's very important that we are transparent about this. What good would it do for you if I stood behind this pulpit and said that I don't have these problems? That I haven't sinned in 5 years? Or 5 days? 5 months or 5 minutes. That would do you no good, would it? You'd get mad, you'd get aggravated, you'd quit. That's what the Pharisees did. They said, we're not like you sinners over there. And y'all are not like us holy people over here. Well, the fact of the matter is this, we all sin. We all have this battle. The Bible says if a man has no sin, what is he? The joker's a liar. And if he says he has no sin, then he makes God a liar, because God says all men have what? Sinned. And the point I'm making there is that if we understand that we're all in this battle together with our flesh, then we won't look down on each other, but we'll help each other. We'll find ourselves praying for each other. Lord, I pray for Brother Pat as he travels down the road. First of all, he would speed up, go faster than 40 miles an hour, so that he doesn't cause the brethren to stop. Lord, let me get past that. Lord, help Brother Pat not get mad when people go by him blowing a horn at him, not to get in the flesh, to serve his employer, to work as unto Jesus Christ. Lord, help Miss Denny. She drives, and she is a crazy driver. All her kids said amen. That she doesn't lose her composure on the road with people. Buying the slow people. That we don't have the vision in the church house. And I know that we're laughing about these things, but you know, we're laughing about these things that are true. I called Brother Clint one day. I said, boom. I said, brother, I just saw your truck go by and it was moving. He said, that's Miss Denny. See, and I said, I figured she was. But your kids ain't going to drive like that. They know better. I told on you, Miss Denny. And those things we do laugh at. And on one hand, it is funny. On the other hand, it's not funny because we shouldn't laugh at those things that are sinful, those things that are not God-honoring, right? May the Lord help us to be humble people. People who love Him and love others, put the needs of others before our own needs, and that we want to serve Him and please Him more than pleasing ourselves. See, we have a choice to make, don't we? We all have a will. It's not free. That offends you, get with me later, I'll explain it to you. We all have a choice to make, and every choice we make is influenced by something outside of us or around us. It's an outside influence, the point I'm making. Either we will choose to walk in the Spirit, or we will choose to obey the lust of the flesh. And that depends on how we are studying, how we're praying, walking with the Lord. If we're wanting to serve our Lord and Savior, we will crucify this stinking flesh. The flesh and the spirit are complete opposites, which means they have different agendas and different goals. They are constant adversaries. They are hostile to each other. They are warring with each other every second. It's a constant war. Again, as I mentioned earlier, the Holy Spirit will never compromise with the flesh. It will never make a truce with the flesh. There will never be a ceasefire. The flesh and the spirit will oppose each other until this sin-loving body that we are robed in dies. This is a battle till we die. Listen, if you do not think you're in a battle with your flesh, or if you don't think it's that bad, then it's a good possibility that you're not truly saved. Because every saved person is in this battle. This is why we cannot do the things that we always want to do for the Lord. Again, every decision we make is influenced by something or someone. I'm sad to say this, but it is obvious that there are times that we give in to the influence of our flesh instead of the influence of the Holy Spirit. We cry out like Paul in Romans 7, "Who shall deliver me from the body of this death, this flesh?" He said, "I thank my God through Jesus Christ." To walk in the Spirit, it's a choice we make. It's a lifestyle. The word walk means lifestyle. That's how we live. We want to, don't we? I think I could be 100% when I say this, that all of us in here this morning who are Christians, we want to serve the Lord. don't we? We want to please Him. We do. Our flesh don't. Don't let the flesh have the victory. Let the Lord have the victory. Go that way. The Bible says kind words do what? Turn away wrath. You know, if that old boy would have got out that truck and said, "You cut me off, but that's okay. Come on in, man. I'll make room for you." He would have had a friend that could whip anybody instead of having an enemy that whipped him. Well, if you look back over your life, look back over my life, there are lots of things I wish I'd have said different, done different. I mean, as a saved person. If I'd have just listened to what the Word of God says, if I'd have just made the decision that was influenced by the Holy Spirit, not this flesh, how different it would have been. See, the Bible tells us to be sober-minded. That doesn't mean that opposite of being drunk-minded, but to be level-headed, to think soberly. We can't do that when we're controlled by our feelings and our emotions. We can't do that when we're following our hearts. Because the Bible says that our hearts are what? Deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Follow the Word of God. Amen. Hey, hold each other accountable. Help each other. That's another reason we ought to pray one for another. We can live for Him. Amen. If you're not saved, you cannot do this. You can try. And you may do good for about a month or two. Outwardly. But it won't be long. And you'll be right back off in the sin again. So I beg you this morning, if you're not saved, to look to Jesus Christ. And nothing else. Christ alone to save your soul. Let's pray.